Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, everybody. This is Prophetess Crystal McQueen. Once again, welcome to my broadcast, Prophetic Atmosphere. I thank God for each and every one of you. Amen. Tonight, under the sound of my voice, and those of you who have joined us live right here in the archives, but in the switchboard room. Amen. Those that are here live, amen, among us. Just want to thank God for you. Amen. We are excited tonight of what God is doing in each and every one of our lives. Amen. I'm excited for all of you. And especially we are praying for you that you will fulfill, amen, your destiny and your purpose in God. Amen. Amen. I just want to let you know there is a word from the Lord on this evening. Amen. But before we do that, we want to definitely get into the announcement. Amen. Prayer. And then following that, the Word of God. Amen? Amen. People of God, just want to let you know every Tuesday at 7 p.m., join up for Kingdom Lifestyle broadcast with Apostle Christopher McQueen. Amen? Amen. Every Thursday at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. Amen. On Saturday mornings at 9:30 and Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m., join us for Christ the King Redemptive Ministry for our morning worship. Amen. We are excited about what God is doing in each and every one of your lives and what he is doing right here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministry. Amen. Glory to God. Those are the quick announcements. Also want to let you know that we have Facebook pages. Amen. Go to our Facebook page. You can find us under Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, amen, or Women of Prophetic Destiny. We want to hear from you, and we want to hear what God is doing in each and every one of your lives, amen. So hit us up on Facebook, amen. For many of you who would like information concerning us, or if you would like to pray about becoming a vision partner with this ministry, or even helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world, as you go to our website, www.ctkr.org, go to the Contact Us page, amen, and follow the instructions there, amen. Someone will contact you at our earliest convenience, amen. Or if, amen, you would like information concerning myself, Apostle McQueen, or if you would like either one of us to come and minister at your program or your engagement, you can find us again, www.ctkr, amen. And for those of you who have been watching us on the media tab, amen, or if you would like to go into our archives at any point in time, finding out, seeing our broadcast, our shows that have been done live, amen, go to the media tab that's on our website. You can click there and you can see any one of our broadcasts, amen, for any of the shows that you may have missed, and just to keep yourself spiritually charged, amen, for the week. Amen. Those shows are there for you. God bless. Amen. Well, those are the announcements for this morning, people of God. Excuse me, or I should say this afternoon. Amen. And we just want to prepare our hearts and our minds to hear the word of the Lord. Amen. And if you would, grab your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the book of Corinthians. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Amen. And as you have your hand there, we are going to pray. And then immediately following that, let's get right into this message on this evening. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Gracious Father, we thank you. We praise you and we bless your holy name. There is no one else like you, God. There's no one above you and there's no one below you. Father, we owe you everything that we have. Everything. We thank you for your mercy and your grace that you have bestowed upon our lives. Even now, Father, we humble ourselves at your feet. We lay before you and we ask that you would have your way in our lives. Have your way in our being. Our will belongs to you, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we lay aside every weight that right now so easily besets us. We ask for forgiveness right now. We have sin, all sin. God, we ask that you would cleanse us and wash us in the blood of Jesus. Wash away our day. God, we just draw our minds and our hearts in to worship you. We draw our minds and our hearts in to come before you to give your name all praise, glory. We're ready to receive a right now word from you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Open up our hearts and our minds. Our spirits are open and ready to hear what thus saith the Lord. Now, God, I'm asking that you would allow this word to penetrate us to the very core of our being. Let it convict someone. Let it change someone. Let it encourage someone. Let it give strength to someone. Father, we just say, have your way tonight in Jesus' name. I decrease. You increase in me. Speak through me as your oracle, Lord. Speak the words that you need to speak so that your people may hear. And not only, Lord, will we hear, but we shall obey your word in the mighty name of Jesus. We give your name praise, give your name honor, and we give your name glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Right wherever you are, just begin to put those hands together and give the Master some glory. Give him some honor. Give him some praise. He is worthy of the worship. He's worthy of the praise. He is worthy of the honor. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Well, people of God, I just want to come tonight to you in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Amen. Familiar passage of scriptures talking about spiritual gifts, the unity in diversity, amen. But as I was talking to the Lord, I should say as I was in prayer and the Lord was talking to me, amen, one of the things that he had been ministering and that we were having a conversation about was this. He said, too often my people, amen, lose their identity. We're talking about spiritual identity tonight. If you're looking for a topic or a subject, it's spiritual identity. Do you know your spiritual identity? Do you know who you are? If any of you that have been following this, our broadcast for some time, we always talk about besides holiness, besides living a life of righteousness and truth, besides seeking the Master and most of all fulfilling your kingdom assignment, part of that fulfilling of your assignment is that you need to know who you are in Him. Amen. You need to know who God called you to be, and you need to be the best that you can be, amen, with his anointing and with his guidance and with his care. And too often many in the body of Christ are frustrated right now because you are trying to, you have a spiritual identity crisis. Amen? You have a spiritual identity crisis. In other words, you're trying to be someone who God never called you to be, and you're trying to fulfill an assignment that God never called you to fulfill. And you're seeing other people around you doing the exact same thing, and they seem to be prospering at every side, but you don't seem to be prospering. And then you just become more angered. You become more anxious. Amen. You become more bitter because everything you seem to put your hands to is drying up, and you're running from place to place, person to person, conference to conference, looking for somebody to validate you, looking for somebody to speak into your life, looking for somebody to tell you who you are, looking for somebody to lay their hands on you and automatically drop you into a mantle or drop you into a calling, amen. But how many of you know it is a process? God is the only one, amen, that can call you who you are. God is the only one that can put a mantle up on you, amen. No other person can put a mantle on you. Yes, we can lay hands and we can go forth and we can begin to impart some things. We can awaken your gifts, amen, that are inside of you. But whoever God called you to be, the label is already on you. So you thought that somebody was just going to make you into that apostle, lay hands on you and make you into that prophet, lay hands on you and make you into that evangelist or that pastor or teacher. It doesn't work that way, people of God. God has already predestined you before the foundations of the world and called you to be who he wanted you to be. And for some of us, we don't like who he called us to be because it may not be glamorous in our eyes. It seems like now you look on Facebook, you look on social media, and everywhere you see every person having the name apostle and chief apostle, and now it's bishop, and then it's prophet. Everybody seems to be a prophet, an apostle, a bishop, and then they got these double titles on them or triple titles on them. But how many of you know that when you look in this Bible, when you really get into the Word of God, what it says is some are called to be apostles, some are called to be prophets, some are called to be pastors, evangelists, teachers, all for the work, for the unity of faith, and for the work of the ministry, amen, for the body of Christ, for the fivefold or the ascension gift, so that we can bring everyone into the unity of faith, amen. So everyone is not called, because when you look at the scripture, it said he called some. It didn't say he called everybody. He called some. And for those some, they went through the process of purification. They went through the process of being talked about. They went through the process of whatever God had to take them to. They went through their wilderness experience so that when they came out on the other side, that when they lifted up their hands, they gave God glory. They gave God honor. When they lifted up their hands, they came out with revelation and knowledge of who Christ was. And not only that, they were able to articulate and be able to cause others to understand who he was. And not only that, but they were able to birth sons and daughters, and they were able to raise up nations of men and women in the gospel and be able so that they too can fulfill their mission and their assignment in the earth. They did not come so that they can have a ton of people sit up under them so that they can have status. Too many are in the ministry and they're looking for status, but they're not looking to do a work. They're looking to make sure that people lift them up, but they're not looking to lift up Christ, nor are they looking to be able to pour into the life of another human being so that they too can fulfill the mission, the assignment, whoever God has called them to be, to fulfill it in the earth. But you've got to know your spiritual identity. This is crucial, people of God, especially in this time. The time that we are in and going forward, you need to know who you are. The enemy loves it when you don't know who you are. He will bring confusion. So we have people that are operating trying to operate in gifts and mantles and lanes, amen, that are not called from them. And instead of them bringing liberty, instead of them bringing freedom, they're bringing chaos and they're bringing bondage. That is not of God. It's not of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at the first verse, it says this. I'm reading out the New King James Version. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." Now here we go. Verse 4. "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gift of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. And we need to hang our hat there. I want to talk about that on tonight. It says here, listen, verse 4, there are diversities of gifts. In other words, there's various kinds of gifts. Everyone does not have the gift of prophecy. Everyone does not have the gift of wisdom or the spirit of wisdom and spirit of knowledge. Everyone does not have discerning of spirits. Everyone does not have the gift of healing. Everyone does not have every person's gift. All of us have giftings that were given by God through the annals of time when he called you into being. Amen? And when he called you into being, he put gifts on the inside of you for, as it says here, who works all in all for the profit of all. In other words, it wasn't just for you, amen, and that gift was just for you to use for your own well-being and make sure you get rich off of it, but your gifting was used so that you can attend to others, so that anyone that comes in contact with you, that they too will benefit from the gifts on your life. Oh, yes, everyone doesn't have to give. Some people have administration. They're able to put things together and be able to, almost like a manager, and be able to have certain things in order and everything working smoothly. Other people know how to deal with the policies, and other people know how to make big connections, and they know how to walk with people of a certain caliber and make those connections. There are other people, amen, that are able to have the ministry of health, where they're always there to be one that helps you and bring things wherever there is a lack or wherever there's a need. They're able to come together and bring the help to it. There are some people that have where they just money comes into their hands no matter what they do, and they have that spirit or that gift to be able to give, or they're always able to meet a need. There's various types and kinds of gifts. Everyone does not have the same gift, and even if you do, you may prophesy or you may prophesy, but guess what? We all have a different intensity and a different level of when we prophesy. Some people or some that are our prophets are seers, where they see everything, whether it's visions, whether it's the angels or demonic forces. He gives them a clean, clear sight, and they see. Other ones, they have dreams, and they dream in the spirit. And other ones, they can just see, you know, as they begin to open up their mouths, they just begin to prophesy because the Lord fills their mouth with whatever he wants to say to his people. Everyone has a different level and a different gifting. Therefore, you are no greater than the next person. So we need to stop making people feel less than because they're not operating from out of the vein that we want them to operate out of. Or we need to stop putting where we can see certain giftings in people, and because their gift may be greater or may be more anointed than what we are, then we want to try to dummy them down or try to bring them in and curve them down and step on them and squash them and try to make them into many me's or make them into less than who God has called them to be. The devil is a lie. Oh, he is a lie. And so people leave out frustrated and leave out angry, angry at God, frustrated with their giftings, frustrated with their calling, frustrated in their anointing. The enemy sitting back laughing at all of it because he realizes as long as you are in the chaos, as long as you are running around not understanding who you are, not still fighting about what your calling is, what your gifting is, I don't have to worry about you. You're no threat to me. So you stay in that little kindergarten circle that you're doing and running around talking about, I must be this, I must be that. Therefore, as long as you're doing that, you're distracted, you're off focus, you're not worrying about what I'm doing. Therefore, you're not a threat to this my kingdom. He says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. In other words, every ministry does not need to be the same. There are enough people in the United States alone where if every person came into alignment of who God called them to be and set up a church or set up a ministry in some sort of fashion, they would be able to meet every need that is in this universe or in the world. In other words, you have some churches or some ministries that are specifically designed by God to deal with those who are homeless. You have those who have ministries that deal with those who are unsaved, and they can pull them off the streets. Amen. They have an evangelistic ministry or evangelistic pull where they can go out and minister to those in the streets and pull them in and begin to indoctrinate them into the Word of God and let them learn about the Spirit. You have others who are churches of prophecy where they teach and train and raise up prophetic people. And then you have those who are of apostolic leadership, amen, who are able to govern the house according by the Word of God, amen, and teach and train all of the men and women of God and their giftings all at once, and then set them into the places where they need to be, whether it's locally, whether it's internationally, amen, or whether it's nationally, whatever God calls them to do, they're able to do that. But here's the point I want to make. Don't let anyone, and I'm going to say that again, don't let anyone make you feel less than who God called you to be. 9 times out of 10, for many of us, God has already told us who we were. God has already told us who we were. And when we come before the man and woman of God and we're in a conference or whatever the case may be, and the Lord leads someone to you to minister to you, and all they do is confirm, I'm going to say that again, they confirm what God has already spoken to you. And when we confirm that, or when he confirms that in us, it's our job to begin to cultivate that, strengthen that, begin to walk in it, amen, learn about it, amen, and begin to seek God on it so that we can hear his voice, know his leading, know his pathway, begin to move forward in those things that he has called us to do. But what happens so often, amen, is that maybe your gift or your ministry may be different from the house that you're in. And we begin to look over yonder or look at someone else's lane and see, you know what, they look like they're doing a whole lot more than what I'm doing. So therefore, I must be like them in order to be accepted. I must be like them in order to be more anointed. That must be God over there. So let me travel over there and try to see if I can be like them. And then here's where we run into the issue, people of God, because that's where we get off course. That's where we begin to seek after the person instead of seeking after the Spirit. I remember just being transparent for a moment. When I was first newly saved and I was trying to really experience the presence of the Lord and being able to abide in it, and then people will begin to prophesy to me and begin to tell me who I was in God and what God was going to do in my life and through my life, amen. And all of a sudden, I found myself constantly seeking after that affirmation. And I was seeking after that affirmation. I was always looking for that next word that was going to tell me how great, how wonderful I was going to be, that next word that was going to tell me you're going to be on the next level, that next word that was going to tell me that anointing is going to be more powerful than you ever seen in your life. And every time I would leave out of there after I fell on the floor, rolled all over the floor, amen, rolled all over the floor, did everything, fell all on top of people, went through the whole process, amen. And then I'm like, okay, God, I'm ready. I'm ready to lay hands and go forward and do this and that. Anything I got to do, I'm ready to do it. But I did not realize, amen, that it was a process that my life had to go through in order to carry the anointing that he really put on my life. what he said and what he was going to do were two different things. I had to come up to where he was at. I had to come up to the anointing that was already predestined and set over my head, over my life. And all the time I kept seeking after the power, seeking after the power. I want more power. I want to get the healing. I want this gift. And every time I was asking for the gift, it was other gifts that I was seeing in other people operating. And when, because I saw that, I was like, I want to do that. So then I'm praying and begging God, God, give me that gift so I can do that. After a while, my apostle said, listen, you need to learn the spirit. When you learn who he is, when you learn the spirit of God, then you will be comfortable in who he's called you to be. Whatever gift he has designed you to have, you already have it, but you got to learn his voice. You got to learn his ways. You got to get in his face. You got to read the word. You got to pray. You got to fast. You got to go through whatever he's called you to go through so that it's less of your flesh and more of him. So that when he does use you, when he brings you up, brings you out, brings you over, when he begins to use you, then when the people see you, they will see the Christ in you and not you. Did I want to hear that? Mm-mm. I didn't want to hear that. All I wanted was the power. Just give me the power. I want the power. But as you can see, the motive was wrong because all I wanted was the power. I didn't really want him. So again, your spiritual identity. Know who you are. And for some of us, you need to go back to what he said at the beginning. What did God say the first time when he called you? Anytime God says something, well, the prophet is, I don't know what he said. What did he say? Somewhere you need to go back in your mind, go back in your past, go back in any messages that you have gotten, anything that God has spoken to you that you have wrote down. You will begin to see a pattern. Anything that God speaks, he speaks it here, he speaks it there, and he speaks it somewhere else. Everything that God does, when it's really his stamp of approval on it, he will make sure that it comes out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. He will make sure that his word is always established. The word of God says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Anything that God speaks, he will always speak it in two to three different places or more. But it will always be the same exact word. And we have many that are struggling. You're struggling. You're angry because you're looking over here. They told you, you know, this must be it. So you're seeking after that and what the next person is doing. Listen, we got to stay in our own lane. If you stay in your own lane, my husband would say, apostle would say, can't nobody be you being you, amen, in your lane, in your field, in your sphere of influence. Can't nobody be you being you. The only time we have issues is when we step out of our lane and try to get into somebody else's lane. When we get into somebody else's lane, then you are susceptible to whatever hit. You're susceptible to whatever's over there. The same thing with them. They can't get out of their lane and into your lane because can't nobody beat you doing what God has called you to do. The issue is, or the real the problem or the challenge is that you got to be happy, amen, with what God has called you to do. You have to be happy and accepting, amen, of what his calling, what his purpose, what his ministry, what his gift, whatever he's placed on the inside of you, your activity, you got to be happy with that. If you're not happy with that, you're not going to be happy over somebody else's lane. Listen. He said, there are diversities of gifts, but the same spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God. You see the pattern here, people of God. Everything that God does, even if it's different from what we do, we all have to understand that it comes from God. We have to have a spirit of discernment, amen, to make sure that it comes from God. Because a lot of stuff that's out here, people are saying, people are doing, people are trying to quote it. People are trying to add scripture to it. It is really not of God. when you really get into the Word, and that's why it's so important that you know this Word. That's why it's so important that you develop a relationship with the Master, because as you do that, he will make sure that you will not be steered in an opposite direction. He will make sure that you don't get the smoke screen all in front of your face and you can't tell his Word from man's Word, his Word from a mixed Word. Amen? He'll be able to give you the unadulterated Word of God, because that is the Word that he operates out of himself, his Word. But what we do, we look at the jazz, we look at the pizzazz, we look at all the lights, the camera, the action, we look at people doing different type of flips and circus antics and theatrics, and we listen to all this rhetoric, and we get caught up in this mess, and then we wonder why, amen, we are confused, we wonder why we are powerless, we wonder why we lack a prayer life, we wonder why we lack understanding, when the Word specifically says, and all by getting, get an understanding. Don't just take somebody's word for it. Get in the Word for yourself and see what he says to you. You want to know who you are? Get into the Word and find out what God says about you. But recognize and realize that even though there are differences, I am going to be different than you. I may prophesy different than you. I may preach different than you. But if it's all for the glory of God, if it's all for the anointing, the one thing we have to understand at the end of the day is that God gets the glory. He said, and there are, verse 6, diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. I don't know about you, but there are many in Christendom today where they literally remove this passage of Scripture out of the Bible. Because what they read is, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of me. And I'm going to use whoever I got to do or use whoever I have to in order for me to profit. This gospel is not about a money-making scheme. This gospel is not taking messages and twisting them and adding Gnostic ideologies to them and feeding it to his people, saying that this is thus saith the Lord. You can have what you say, speak it, claim it, live any kind of life you want to, it shall come to pass. Oh, but by the way, if you don't want to do that, all you got to do is be able to put your seed in the ground. Give your way out of whatever situation you want, or give your way into whatever you want God to do for you. Just give. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Money answereth all things. Or another question we want to talk about is called the grace, the spirit of grace. Oh, God loves everybody, and he does. He loves everybody. He'll do nobody no harm. He loves everybody so much he wouldn't allow you to even go to hell, because that's how much he loves you. No matter what state you're in, what state of sin you're in, it doesn't matter, because God loves you. Listen, the Bible has specific scriptures, passages of scriptures that say opposite to everything that I've just said. But we have to get into the Word and know it for ourselves. When that Word specifically says, but the manifestation of his Spirit, when the Word of God comes forth, his Spirit should be manifesting in your presence. Why? For the profit of all. God is concerned about his people. God's heart is about people. God's heart is not about your pocketbook. God's heart is not about you building another section onto your already monstrous building or larger building. I didn't say the word right, but you understand where I'm coming from. Amen. He did not give you this word. He didn't call you so that you can piggyback and allow people to give of all their substance unto you, and you watch them grovel and you watch them struggle, and they never come into the light. They never come into the understanding. They never come into what God has called them to do. They never fulfill the mission. They never understand that God has, that he does care, he is concerned, and he wants to see the best for them. No, you don't want them to know that. You don't want them to know that they can get to God without you. You don't want them to know that. You want them to believe that the only way they can get a prayer answered is if they come to the apostle, if they come to the pastor, if they come to the bishop. That's the only way they can get a prayer through. You don't want them to believe that they can also receive their own prophetic word, that if they get into the face of God, he'll speak to them. No, you don't want them to do that. You want to make sure that every word that comes out of your mouth, amen, is a word that they're going to believe in. But before I speak this word, you got to give me a gift. You got to put something in my hand, because I can't see anything until they come to the prophet with the gift. And as soon as I receive the gift, then I'll begin to prophesy. What kind of foolishness is that? And we're keeping people bound, and we're keeping people yoked up, and we're causing people to fall into a ditch. And God is not pleased with this mess. He's not pleased. You can write me all day. You can send all kinds of stuff, hater mail. I know how to delete people off of my Facebook. You got to get this stuff together. We are not called to sit here and rake people across the coals. We're not called to rake them spiritually. We're not called to use people. We're not called to use the word to beat people. We're not called to use the word to bind people up. We are called to live a life that is before men. Amen. That when the enemy comes, they cannot find, that he cannot find nothing in us, because all he sees is Christ. That when people come, when they're hurting and broken and bruised and beat down, that we have the anointing, the Spirit of the Lord, to either lay hands, amen, or cast the devil out, to speak healing over their lives, amen, to prophesy into their lives and tell them it is a new day, that you won't stay here forever, that God has a new beginning for you. It is our job, it is our duty to love people back to life. I can't get no help, and it's all right today, because I'm delivering my own soul. Listen, Jesus, the word is used to profit all. The Spirit comes so that all will be profit. In other words, everybody, when his Spirit begins to move, whether that's through the worship, whether that's through prayer, whether that's through the word of God, whether that's through the music, however he chooses to move, whether it's through a word, whether it's a preached word, a spoken word, or a read word, however he chooses to move, it's for his glory. His glory. Say it with me. His glory. Say it with me one more time. His glory. So we have to stop, amen, allowing the enemy. And sometimes it's not even the enemy. Sometimes it's us. We have to stop our own cycle of abuse. We need to stop our own cycle of abuse. What do you mean, prophetess? What do you mean a cycle of abuse? What I'm saying is we have to stop replaying in our minds, amen, those negative features. We need to restop, we need to stop rehearsing, amen, out of our mouth what we can't do, what we ain't going to do. I don't know how I'm going to make it. This ain't going to happen. It's always been this way. I've always wanted to do this. Quit that mess. It's not about that. Amen. In other words, you need to focus on building your strengths. We all have weaknesses. If we did not have weaknesses, then we would not have a God to depend upon. I'm going to say that again. We all have weaknesses. Amen. As we say, we're all going through something. Yeah, we're all going through something. But in order for us to be a gift to the body of Christ, we need to focus on the strength. And as you're focusing on your strength, your giftings, the ministry, whatever he's given you, as you focus on that, focus on him as he's strengthening your gifts, training you, teaching you what you can do. When you start putting your hands to the plow, then you will begin to start seeing the fruitfulness. Then you'll begin to start seeing the harvest. Then you'll begin to start seeing the manifestation. Yes, our weaknesses are there, but they can't be our whole focus. But some of you out there, that's all you see is what your weaknesses are. And that's what the enemy wants you to see. And for some of you, you like seeing the weaknesses because that allows you to play the victim role. That allows somebody to pat your little patty cake you. But the devil is a lie. You got to come up out of Lodi Bar. You got to come up out of that cave. You got the power in your own mouth. Don't talk to me about I got the Holy Ghost and you shouting on and out all over here. But then we see you outside and you can't even lift your head if somebody got a pump and prime you up, tell me it's going to be all right. God's in control. You're going to be able to make it. The Bible says David encouraged himself. When are you going to start encouraging yourself? When are you going to start saying, I am who God called me to be? I am gifted. I am anointed. I may not have everything, but what I've got, God can breathe upon it. And for some, we don't have anything to give God. Therefore, he said, breathe upon it. So you don't have nobody to blame but yourself. Oh, you thought I was going to talk about the devil, right? No, you got a part to play. Just like you have a part to play in this thing called Christianity, living a life before him, you also got a part to play in what you have around you. You shall have what you say. Out of the mouth, amen, out of our own mouth we speak, we shall have what we say. Let the life in the power of the tongue. We speak by his spirit because his spirit on the inside of us. And whatever we speak, we can't get upset when we start seeing the harvest raise up around us. What are you speaking? Who are you profiting? Are you in a ministry to actually profit, bring Jesus to that ministry? Are you one that's actually growing in that ministry? Or are you someone that's sitting there trying to siphon off every ounce of anointing? Let me get all I can all I get. I want this and I want that. I want all the prayer. I want all the anointing. I just want this. This is my spiritual parent. This is my pastor. This is my, I just want everything to me, my, and you get fat and you get ugly. Why? Because you're not doing anything with what has been given to you. Out of your own mouth, every word shall be established. Let's face it, people of God, everything ain't the devil. Some stuff we put our own selves in because we spoke it. Our faith produced it. And we keep looking next door, talking about how great Pastor so-and-so, how great spirit evangelist so-and-so is, how great prophet and prophetess so-and-so is, but we won't get off of our chair of do nothing. We won't find out what God has to say to us because we're coveting after somebody else's anointing. You do know that covetousness is a sin, right? It is a sin. You didn't, I'm going to tell you, it's a sin. And it's more covetousness, it's more than you just looking at somebody's spouse and saying, ooh, I want that. It's anything that you don't have that you see somebody else have that you want to have it. And you're not satisfied with what you got because you're too busy looking and talking about what they have. God has anointed them to have what they have. You got to recognize this. I'm in the book still. It says everything is done by the same spirit. Every ministry, every diversity of gifts, every activity is the same God who works in all. They're not great, grand, and wonderful. They're just working the anointing. God's speaking over their life. He's pouring out over their life. In other words, he's the one that's making them great. They're not making themselves great. He's making them great. And you know what? God is no respecter of person. He wants to make you great. But you got to know who you are. You got to be able to be confident in who you are. Walk in your anointing. Walk in your gifting. Walk in your calling. And then he too will breathe upon you, and you too shall be great in the land that he's established you in. I know I'm right about it. Why? Because he told me. It took me a long time to realize this, people of God. It took me a long time. I know wasted. Prophetess wasted many years trying to get somebody to validate and like and say, you know, you are the prophetess. You are anointed woman of God. You are the great. And I was so consumed with trying to pull on somebody else, trying to be this person and trying to do what they do. And all the while, I was so busy running after that and could not see that there were people running behind me trying to figure out how I was doing what I was doing. What kind of foolishness is that? And for some of you, you're doing the same thing. People are looking at you with their hands on their hips like, how are you doing what you do? I need to be like you, and you sit up here running behind somebody who can care less who you are unless you got a $500 check in your hand. You got to understand. No. You got to accept. I'm going to say it like that. You got to accept in this hour, 2014, at quarter till, who God called you to be. Get off this Facebook trying to be pastored by people whose spirits you don't really even know. I'm not saying everybody on Facebook is not anointed and appointed and assigned by God. Some are, but there's a whole lot of hoo-ha and a whole lot of erroneous doctrine that is being spoken over people's lives, and cray-cray prophets and apostles and pastors and fivefold ministries, the straight cray-cray, and we're sitting over here endorsing things that are not even in the Word, endorsing people's opinions, endorsing people's fake assignments, endorsing people's fake anointing. Accept who you are. Know your spiritual identity. And walk there. And let me say this. And I know somebody's going to get mad out there because they're going to say, well, you know, you must not be doing it. Therefore, you're saying something about this. For those of us who are called prophets, let me tell you something about these schools of prophets. If God truly, I'm going to put the disclaimer here. If God has truly called you to do that and you're doing it according to his word, And the vision that he's placed before you, and you're causing the people to go hard after him, amen, and causing the people to fall more in love with him, and as they begin to walk out the assignment that they have on their life, amen, amen, God bless you. I'm supporting you. I'm always supporting that, whatever God has truly called. But let me tell you something, people of God, for those of us who are running and paying folks big money to be able to have somebody have a couple of classes and tell and put you in a circle, y'all doing kumbaya and prophesying all over each other. Don't even know if you're really doing it right or not, but because you done joined their class and you paid your money and they give you a certificate, does not make you a prophet. I've been with this ministry for 1 year, and now I'm about to be ordained as a prophet. No one can make you a prophet. Only God can set you in that office. Everyone has the gift of prophecy. When the anointing falls, we all can prophesy as he chooses to prophesy. But for me to just walk up to you and slap you with some oil and say, you are the prophet, yeah, I know about Elijah and Elisha. But guess what? He already knew who God called him to be. And he found the man of God so that he could learn who he was supposed to be. He didn't have to tell him who he was. When the man could tell, he already knew, you're next. When he put his coat on him, he already knew, I'm next. Yes, we can glean from men and women of God, mature men and women of God. We can glean from them. Amen? But no one can set you in an office. Only God can do that. So quit feeding these people your gas money, your light money, your rent money. Quit giving your money away, following after somebody or someone who tells you, not until I put my hand on you, then you are it. Listen, baby, for the old saints of God, I asked myself, well, God, how did they learn? He said they learned because they learned of me. They got in my face. They spent time with me. They began to learn my spirit. I began to teach them. And as I taught them, they were always accurate. They were always able to do what I called them to do because it was about me. You don't hear any prophets of old going to no schools of the prophets. You got a school of the prophet everywhere you raise up. And I guarantee you it won't be long before someone tries to raise up a school of the apostles. They already got a school of bishops. Somebody just hasn't tapped into that nest yet. Somebody's about to raise up the school of the apostles. And everybody who you feel you called as an apostle, and they always pray on people who do not know who they are. People who know who they are in God and know the voice of the Lord, stay far away from that mess. Our spiritual identity. I was in a training sometime. I was having a conversation with my husband, and I was talking about a training that I had at my job, and it was a specific training. It was more set on learning your natural giftings, learning your colors, but they combined your gifts with certain colors and then what your strengths were versus your weak areas. Amen. And it says once you begin to learn what your strengths are, it says then you can be able to work in harmony and unity, amen, excuse me, with those that are of another color. So you, because you'll know their strengths and their weaknesses, you can play off of one another, amen, and always one will be covered by the other. So whether as if you may be excellent at writing up or getting getting customers in, you may be excellent at bringing in people for profit shares, amen, but you may be lousy at the paperwork, while this person may be gifted and hates dealing with the public, but they love dealing with paperwork. So you have a union, you come together in an agreement, amen, and your job is to go out there and bring them in, and the other person's job is once they get in, I'll make sure that the paperwork is in order so that we'll always be effective when it comes to the policies, amen, when it comes to dealing with the government, I'll make sure all those things are together, amen. And when I first started going through it, I was like, oh, God, this is a bunch of mess. But as I look back over the years that we have constantly been rehearsing it for our workforce and the different things that we have to do for our annual training, I'm realizing more and more that the whole focus is my strengths. As I focus in on my strengths, then I'm always putting my best foot forward. The weaknesses will always be there. We have been taught as to always focus in on our weaknesses. As I said before, the weaknesses will always be with you. You don't ignore them, but you don't use them as a crutch. You don't stay there and constantly focus on them and play on them and begin to allow them to engross you and take you over. You, because as long as I'm focusing on what I don't have, I'm never focusing on what I do have. And I can't profit nobody because I'm too busy focusing on what I don't have instead of focusing on my strength of what I do have, where somebody can come and they can profit from my gifting, and that we can all come together in unity. But we got to stop making excuses of why we are where we are, why we decide where we want to be, why we can't get over the hump, why we can't move past this, why we got to hold on to this. Everybody has a reason. We got a purpose. This is why I'm here. It's always an excuse. And the reality is, people of God, the excuses are nothing but lies. You're lying to yourself, and you're lying to everybody else around you. He said, in verse 6, but it is the same God who works all in all. He's the ultimate. He's the end. He's the first. He's the last. Everything you do, it should be about him. And that the manifestation of the Spirit is to give each to each one for the profit of all. And it says what gifts are actually given. Amen. And we already know. He said, but this is the thing. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. In other words, you don't have a choice in the matter. So stop frustrating yourself trying to pick and choose which gift you want to operate out of. Stop picking and choosing and being jealous of other people because they didn't have a choice either. It's what God said. God has the final say. And what he said, that's why one can say, oh, I wish I could. Prophet, wish you could. I wish I could sing. Believe me. I wish God anointed me where I can blow. But I also know the flip side of that is that if I could sing, I know the motive behind it is that I would be ugly and trifling. It wouldn't be about God's glory. It wouldn't. And instead of it being a gift to share with others, to bring people into his presence, amen, I'll be trying to bring them to my concert. Because after all, you're here to hear me sing. And after all, can't nothing happen in this place until I open up my mouth. Well, for as the body is one, and as many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. We're one body, people. It's not so-and-so over here, not the apostles over here, prophets over here, bishops over here, CEOs over there, millionaires over there, the littles and nobodies over there. We're all one body. Just as Christ is one, you're one. Come on, let's pray. Father, right now, I bless your holy name. I give your name praise. I give your name glory. I give your name honor. There is nobody like you, Lord, in all the earth. Father, we just bless you and we magnify you. Today, Father, I'm asking that you just begin to break the shackles off people's minds where they're stuck in confusion, where they're stuck in the past, where they're stuck in excuses, where they're stuck in the reason why they can't do, where their complete focus is always on their weaknesses, what I don't have, what I don't got, what I can't do. I wish I was like this. I wish I was like that. God, break that spirit now off of your people in the name of Jesus. God, remove the veil off of their eyes so that they can see who it is that you called them to be, so that they can be complete, that they can know the anointing and the gifting that you have placed on their life in the mighty name of Jesus. God, right now begin to birth in your people a fresh, a newness on the inside. Begin to birth in them a newness, a tenacity in the spirit, God, for they will begin to seek after you with all their heart, all their mind, all their soul, all their strength. Do it in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, God, break every shackle and every chain. Father, even those that may be in places, Father, that are causing them to be crushed and used and abused, Father, begin to open it up now for them to escape and lead them by the Spirit to a Bible-believing church that's going to teach and train them and bring them into the fullness of who you call them to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And for those of you who are not saved, please pray this prayer with me. Father, I'm a sinner. Wash me in the blood. Make me whole. I'll serve you all my days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And if you pray that prayer with me, welcome to the kingdom of God. We here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministry are believing God for you, that he's going to lead you to a Bible-believing and teaching church, amen, that's going to train you up in the things of God, that you too can fulfill your ministry and your purpose in the kingdom. Amen. I'm Prophetess Crystal McQueen. Go to our website, www.cttkr.org. Amen. Be a blessing to this ministry, amen, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. And even go to our media page and hit us up there. Let us know how this ministry is blessing your life. Amen. Love each and every one of you. Join us on Saturday at 9:30 a.m. for Christ the King Redemptive Ministry. See you again next week. Amen. Amen. See you again. Amen. Oh, don't also want to forget, amen, to also join us on Sunday morning, amen, didn't want to forget that, Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. for our live broadcast on Sunday morning where you'll hear the word delivered from Apostle Christopher McQueen, amen. And also please hit us up on Facebook, amen. Hit us on Facebook, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, or WOPD, also known as Women of Prophetic Destiny. Love you all. Good night.